vision, seeing. As noted in prior treatments on this same general topic, Mary Baker Eddy sent a letter, very important content, as was all of her writings, to a student on the topic of vision. One very important theme that stood out was about focusing. And she asked the student, are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? The full letter is available under articles in the Mary Baker Eddy Index. The point is that the belief of mortal mind operates on decoys. It operates in trying to mock truth, absolutely as close as possible, without being pure truth, which of course it cannot do, because it's error, it is mistakes, it is a mockery of truth. But what it attempts to do is to be that telephone that is ringing to try to get the attention of suspects and convert them into prospects and convert them into slaves so that they are in the dance of mortal mind. As has been stated in prior treatments, Mary Baker Eddy devoted multiple times a day to examine her thought to make sure she was not condemning anyone and that she was only looking for good. In the glossary, page 587, Mary Baker Eddy gives this definition of God. God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. Note that she gives that extra thrust for the two terms of substance and intelligence. Substance is already included as a part of spirit, and intelligence is a part of omniscience, which is a part of mind. But she gives that extra thrust, I think, to point out that many people do not realize that if we focus on intelligence and substance, that covers a lot of groundwork. And generally speaking, we don't focus on either one of those because we are subjected to the constant barrage of suggestions by mortal mind trying to convince us that it is the one and only real divine mind, which is incorporeal, supreme, and infinite. And also in terms of substance, we are constantly barraged with the belief that matter is real. And of course, Mary Baker Eddy gave us the scientific statement of being, which is that there is no life, truth, or intelligence in matter, because all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. So matter is not real. And in fact, that's the one thing that probably attracted Einstein more than anything else to study seriously Christian Science, along with the fact that his friend Dr. Underwood was healed from the belief of radiation from working on the Atomic Energy Commission, whereas all of his comrades did not survive it, and they all passed on. He was the only survivor, and when Einstein saw that, he really took note and started to seriously study all of Mary Baker Eddy's writings. He made the comment to the people at the church he was attending there in Chicago. He said, you people don't know what you have. And of course, he also made the statement that blessed art thou, for all that is in this book. He's talking about Mary Beck Reddy as being thou with a capital T, and this book he was referring to, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Beck Reddy. And then he said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. You know, back in those days, women couldn't vote. They couldn't own property. They weren't even counted in groups. Like when Jesus was preaching to the people on the hillside, they would say there were 4,000 people, 4,000 men, plus women and children. Or the other group was 5,000 plus women and children. They didn't even count them. They just said, well, they were there. Not important how many, because they're not really worthy of being considered a real person. Took a long time before they could vote, around 1900 or so in the U.S. You know, 125 years or so after the U.S. was founded as an independent nation, before women could vote. Mary Baker Eddy took the opposite view, and she said that God is father and mother. So not only did she say that they were on equal terms, but she was defining God as being both the motherly and the fatherly qualities. In other words, the strength and courage and all of that, which is normally attributed to the male population, and then the love and the caring and the kindness and those kinds of qualities that are generally attributed to the female population. Well, she put it all together. She wrapped it all up into one generic God who produced one generic man as God's manifestation. Since Mary Baker Eddy devoted time every day, multiple times a day, to examine her thought about whether or not she was looking only for good and focusing on only good, that ties in directly with what Dr. Fluno gave us in his great page and a half article on criticism. He basically says that if you criticize, you're blocking all future for yourself. And everyone your thought rests upon is also negatively impacted by the criticism that you're manifesting and making public. And of course, Jesus says that what you think is the same as doing it. So we cannot even think criticism, or we're in hot water. We are ignoring the instructions of Jesus. How about the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other God before me. Criticism is making a God of finding fault with other people. Anything that is unlike God that we focus on is a mistake, a big mistake, because it is violating the first commandment. It's violating the code of morality. We're lowering our morality below the standard of what God manifested us to be, as generic man reflecting him, and he, as defined in the glossary, in the definition of good, which is just below the definition of God, says that good is God, Spirit, and then the four omnis, which is omnipotent, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. So God is all of those four. Good is all of those four. And good is God, which means God is good. God is nothing less than good. Good is the opposite of matter. Good is the opposite of evil. Good is the opposite of anything that is unlike God. So are we going to let our thought pattern fall down and become ensconced in the belief that matter and mortal mind and discord and death and error and everything else that is unlike God, material sense, all the material senses? How about principle? Getting rid of principle and operating on chaos. So, if we operate on matter, that is full of flaws, whereas spirit has none, it's flawless. Material sense is full of flaws. Spiritual sense has none. Principle is without flaws. And its opposite, which is chaos, is full of flaws. Life is without flaws. It's eternal, self-multiplying. But its opposite, which is death, is total failure. Truth is without mistake, without error, without any defects. Whereas error, truth's opposite, is nothing but those falsities. And, of course, love is the summation, the fulfillment, the wholeness, the completeness, which means that we have already touched on improving our self in understanding a little more about mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. And therefore, we have an opportunity to take a peek at love. It may only be a peek because love in its fullness is infinite. So we can't see the total perspective of love because it is infinite. So it goes on and on and on. We can only take a peek at it. We can only strive to understand a little bit more of it today than we did previous to this moment. That should be our goal. Mary Baker Eddy's goal was to only focus on good and perfection. That's what Jesus did. And is our goal any better? No, we should be shadowing her. We should be following her. She's our leader. We should be trying to do everything that she was doing, focusing on completely the perfection of God and seeing it in ourselves with every thought, speech, and action, and seeing it in everyone else and everything else. If it was important enough for Mary Baker Eddy to stop several times a day to do nothing but that, do you think it's important enough for us to do the same thing? If we did nothing more than spend 5 minutes at a time, that would probably be 5 minutes that we're not doing it now. Are we going to do it? Does it matter to us about our future? Our future is totally dependent upon where our focus is. Mary Baker Eddy states in the very beginning of Science and Health, the quotation from Shakespeare, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Where is our thinking? Where is our thinking? Is it on the right topic, which is perfection, flawlessness, spirituality? Seeing everyone in the light of truth? Affirming that there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter? And affirming that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation? Why? Because God is all in all. And God is defined on page 587 as being good. Good. God is good. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. As Mr. Rawson proved in his healings, there is nothing but God. So if we're going to be thinking about anything besides God, we're thinking about unreality. Is that where we want to be devoting our thought? To unreality? Or do we want to build up within consciousness the truth of being? Which means that God is all in all. There's no variance. It's not that God is partly good, that God is part-time present, or that God is partially strong, has some power, or that God is action some of the time. No. God is omnipresent right now, always has been. There is no other existence except for the existence of God. That's the truth. That's the key to understand. Do these thoughts include all mankind? You better believe it. And we should be acknowledging this. Mary Baker Eddy devoted several times a day, as has been stated, doing exactly that. Examining thought to make sure that she was only looking for good, seeing only good, talking only good, thinking only good. And realizing that it impacted everyone that exists. She prayed for all mankind 3 times a day, as she stated in one of her press articles, combating the contention that she was prayerless. Well, that's the way mortal mind operates. It uses one of its own features and accuses someone else, its opponent, by being and exhibiting that evil in their character. Degrading one's character, that is what mortal mind attempts to do all the time. That's its only tool. The tool chest is big and fat, and it's full of one thing. Baloney. Baloney. Error, evil, mistakes. Appearing to be something when in fact it is a bunch of baloney. It's a bunch of nothing. Not even fit to eat. You don't even want to know what the components are because it's so bad. If you knew it, you wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. You would never eat another piece of bologna. It would be gone forever as an item that you want to consume. It's like rotten tomatoes, or rotten eggs, or rotten anything. You don't even want to come near it. It's like smelling a skunk. you would prefer doing something else with your smelling senses. A skunk is no fun to smell the aroma of. I was sprayed with a skunk one time. I was coming home like about midnight from the office, and there were stairs to walk up to another level to where the parking was, and it was they were wooden, and so they had spaces in between each one of the steps, and there was a skunk in there, and he sprayed me, got me good. I'd never had an experience like that before, and I just figured it would go away. I had about a 10-minute drive to go home. When I got home, I was not given a very good welcome. I guess I was immune to it by then. It had knocked my entire ability to smell. So I ended up going back out in the garage, and I was instructed to use tomato juice and then go in the shower and use tomato juice over my hair and everything else. Then I was invited in, into the living quarters. Yeah, that was interesting experience. Yeah. The suit I was wearing went in a plastic bag and delivered to the laundry with the instructions that, watch out. It's like that cartoon that shows the man, the delivery man, delivering a letter, and he hands one letter to one of his customers with long-handled tongs. And the mailman says, watch it, George. It's from the IRS. Steam coming off of it, you know. Well, we won't talk about corrupt organizations. But our focus needs to be on not the corruption. It's easy to focus on the corruption. But with all the corruption around us, is it easy to focus where Mary Baker Eddy says we should be focusing? There's only one thing we should be focusing on if we want to move forward at a steady pace. And it only has to be a steady pace. Mary Baker Eddy says precept upon precept. She's quoting the Bible verse. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. She does not encourage somebody to try to take the leap in one day or at one time. She says you are culturing consciousness, and it is an infinite process. In fact, one of her statements is that infinite progression is concrete being. We have to culture our consciousness. It's like if we were a gardener. That gardener doesn't transform that garden into a desert, from a desert into an oasis in one day. He has to build up the soil, putting all kinds of compost in there and rotten leaves and all the kinds of stuff that makes it for a wonderful, fertile compost. And he puts that all around the plants and, you know, builds up that soil to be just beautiful and perfect for whatever plants he's going to put in there. And different ones take different kinds of soil. Some of them are arid and they want fast drainage. Other ones want to sit in moisture. I've got some ficus trees, and boy, they love the water. The more it rains, the happier they are. They've got the glisten on their leaves, and boy, they put out new leaves constantly. I live in a multi-story building, and the water tanks are up on the top. They collected from the rain. And one of them had a drain-off tube that was dripping right on one of the ficus trees. And I couldn't figure out why this ficus was doing so well. I mean, it took off like something else. And then I happened to be there when some water was coming out of the pipe that was on, you know, over the top of it. And I realized what was going on. But boy, it loved just having constant drip of water on its leaves. They get acclimated to a certain climate and certain moisture level and all that. And it may not like changing the atmosphere, but it does acclimate to whatever is needed. It can be in full sun, can be in full shade. They're very popular inside of homes where there's no sun, or maybe sun just coming through the window at an angle. Could even be a 90-degree angle or level with the ground for even a short time. Well, we need to be acclimated only to truth. We have to let that truth shine through us. We have to focus on the pure, the flawless. We have the opportunity to do it. Are we going to do it? Are we going to follow the path of Jesus? Are we going to follow the path of Mary Baker Eddy and Frederick Rawson and Mr. Winslow and some other deep thinkers and successful practitioners at all levels? Mr. Winslow healed a boy from the belief of death. Bicknell Young healed himself from the belief of death. He has an article where he describes his experience of drowning. People looking at his body. He was not in it. He was out in the water. Supposedly dead. And he could see people viewing his body. Lifeless body. But he wasn't in it. He made the conscious decision that he had things to do on this earth. And so he came back to life. It's said that we have to agree to death. I guess sooner or later we will all find out exactly what that experience is all about. Mary Baker Eddy has stated that it is nothing more than an experience. It's only a part of our existence. It's not the end. It's only a probationary period. In fact, one of her topics in the 26 Bible lessons that she gave us, one of the topics is probation after death. So we will have an opportunity, everyone will, to face that decision and decide if you're going to yield to it or if you're going to resist it, reject it, and grab onto the truth. Grab onto real life, truth and love. Easier said than done, but it is possible. It has been done. And God gives us the strength to do what we need to do. We've got to continuously remember that when we're praying, we've got to include all humanity. So the truth that is stated in this treatment applies to all humanity, and all humanity can benefit from it. Because it's in my thought that this is for all humanity. All individuals, all groups and classes and universally. That's who this treatment is for. God is all. There is nothing but God. God is good. God is only good. There can be no dilution, diversion, interference, lack of capacity, lack of facility. God is all creative force. God is omniscience, which includes all intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. God is all action. God is omnipresent. The truth in this treatment cannot be interfered with, can't be stopped, and cannot be reversed. God is all in all. There is nothing but God. Amen.